information is free.
The law?
Oh, yeah.
There is hope.
When ignorance is converted into knowledge,
we care.
Appear to border
and it shows.
On
the law?
Oh, the
country.
You will remember nine you have seen or heard here.
Whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not cooperate, it made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.
Earth is the cradle of humanity, but one cannot live in the cradle forever. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 194 of Media Monarchy. It's November 12, 2010, and my name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. This week, mystery missiles and PSYOP streaks, threatagenda warnings and rumors, bank holidays and lockdowns, plus the Death Star news purge with all the 9/11 updates, microchip pills and orange flame, depression, decision points, and a family of secrets, plus hard truths, war whores, and sex stings. All that and so much more for you, my friends. November 12, 2010, episode 194 of MediaMonarchy.com.
Another star.
strange news from another star. That's Blur from their self-titled 97 album. That was their worldwide breakthrough. You wouldn't think that that song came from the same album as Woohoo! But I saw them on that tour at the Black Hat in Washington, D.C. And we'll hear a little bit more from Blur later in the show. And let me welcome you formally, my friends, new and returning listeners, to the 194th episode of Media Monarchy. My name's James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. All that and so much more. It's more than those few little catchphrase words can encompass. And we are, of course, as always, broadcasting live every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Portland Radio Authority here in the People's Republic of Oregon, praradio.org, and, of course, worldwide simulcast thanks to zeropointradio.com. And they blast it. Hello, Casper, 92.3 FM and 1670 AM in stereo. Again, huge thanks to zeropointradio.com. Join us in the chat room right now. And the worldwide home of free speech, revereradio.net. Again, all the live sources for Media Monarchy. Huge thanks to the stations that replay the show. Free Radio Olympia, 98.5 FM. BerkeleyLiberationRadio.net on 104.1 FM. OneSkyRadio.com, 89.9 Patriot Radio. Thanks to my man Glenn at KBOO.info. And, of course, Radio23.org, one of the places where you can get high-quality downloads of Media Monarchy, suitable for rebroadcast on your non-commercial independent media outlet. And if you don't exactly have that, well, we can certainly make contact on Facebook.com/Media Monarchy and all the others, MySpace, Twitter, and YouTube. We are presently not streaming on Ustream.tv. They seem to be rapidly updating, and my little browsers and MacBook can't quite keep up with it. So no stream for you folks, and maybe that'll give me one less thing to keep an eye on while we're doing this show. But of course, you can find everything on YouTube.com/Media Monarchy, Ustream, Blip, Cafe Press, News Tips, contact mediamonarchy@gmail.com. We're on Skype, Instant Messenger, iTunes, radioforall.net, archive.org. And please don't miss, at the top right of mediamonarchy.com, the donate button. Your support helps keep independent alternative media going. A big thanks to Gene in Virginia, not only for his donation, but also for the news tips and things he sends to MediaMonarchy@gmail.com. And again, folks, I can't necessarily respond to every single thing, but it's all appreciated. So again, it's November 12th, 2010, and we look at the breaking news, Obama and the Bush tax cuts. How far toward GOP will he go? Well, we haven't investigated anything the previous puppet war criminal perpetrated. Certainly, the Obama regime has been all about the continued heist. Bush got the ball rolling, and lefties can talk the semantics of, but that was Bush's TARP bailout. But what anointed one flew around and made backroom wheeling and dealing at the last minute to make sure the Democrats passed the Bush TARP bill? The gangsters passing off the football. And ultimately, none of this is going to change until we address fraudulent monetary policy. Cindy McCain stands against Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And her husband. That would be the Manchurian candidate, John McCain, one of our many Manchurian candidates. and prison or halfway house for Palin email hacker. Those, according to Google News, are the most important things going on. God help us all. Or as we know today, don't look up. The skyline meme is everywhere. So, of course, we'll stay tuned to any breaking news that we can try and give for you here live on this November 12th morning, episode 194 of MediaMonarchy.com. And we're going to start with easily the biggest, or at least most visible, story of the past week, which should instantly make you ask the question, well, what else is going on? Hopefully, we'll find out. Mystery missile launch seen off California coast. This is one of those stories that, as we've discussed many, many times in the past, that even for folks who aren't obsessive news junkies like myself and perhaps yourselves, everybody knew about this story, which makes you ask the question, what else is really going on? It's a massive psyop, either way you cut it. Now, I don't want to be misconstrued that when we use the term psyop, and we use it a lot, to always mean that it is an entirely orchestrated event. Because, of course, yeah, there are accidents. But the conspiratorial view of history is the correct one. But even when it's an accident, or a kerfuffle, as I heard said, they can instantly grow into becoming a psychological operation. And this is aided and abetted by, of course, the PSYOPs troops in the military that we've reported on numerous times here and as well on NewWorldNextWeek.com. A psychological operation. I made brief reference in the previous B-side episode, and again, my friends, feeds.feedburner.com/MediaMonarchy. You won't miss a thing. You'll get all the articles and all the audio and all the video. The memes of ships and skylines and the carnival sick crews and don't look up and red hot streaks and QE2, Queen Elizabeth, quantitative easing ship in the currency. Of course, the currency flows between the banks. Should always go back to the work of Jordan Maxwell so that you can stand under the foundation and see where it's building so you have an understanding. But I have massive, massive amounts of media all embedded, all linked up, all saved, of course. Remember to save a PDF as the stories change and things go down the memory hole. You at least have some kind of copy. And we won't go through every single thing, but let's give you the basic breakdown of the text, and we'll give you some of the context and subtext, and we have a massive compilation of clips that will break down this whole mystery missile psyop. And we must note that this takes place solely captured by CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System, with their skull and bones and intelligence connections. A mysterious missile launch off the Southern California coast was caught by CBS affiliate KCBS's cameras Monday night, and officials are staying tight-lipped over the nature of the projectile. CBS station KFMB put in the calls to the Navy and the Air Force Monday night about the striking launch off the coast of Los Angeles, which was easily visible from the coast, but the military has said nothing about the launch. KFMB showed video of the apparent missile to former U.S. Ambassador to NATO Robert Ellsworth, who was also a former Deputy Secretary of Defense under Tricky Dick. To get his thoughts, quote, "It's spectacular. It takes people's breath away. A big missile," end quote. Magnificent images were captured by the KCBS News helicopter in L.A. around sunset Monday evening. The location of the missile was about 35 miles out to sea west of L.A. and north of Catalina Island. A Navy spokesperson told KFMB it wasn't their missile. He said there was no Navy activity reported in the area Monday evening. On Friday night, remember, the 5th of November, Friday night, Vandenberg Air Force Base in California launched a Delta II rocket carrying an Italian satellite into orbit, but a sergeant at the base told KFMB there had been no launches since then. Ellsworth urged Americans to wait for definitive answers to come from the military. When asked, however, what he thought it might be, the former ambassador said it could possibly have been a missile test timed as a demonstration of American military might as Barry Satoru tours Asia. It could be a test firing of an intercontinental ballistic missile from a submarine to demonstrate mainly to Asia that we can do that, quote-unquote, speculated Ellsworth. He said such tests were carried out in the Atlantic to demonstrate America's power to the Soviets when there was a Soviet Union, but he doesn't believe an ICBM has previously been tested by the U.S. over the Pacific. Officially, at least, the projectile remains a mystery. And that's the original report from the Columbia Broadcasting System. And just to give you an idea of the amount of media linked up and embedded for you, we have the New York Daily News, we have Cryptogon.com, we have Danger Room, Wikipedia, YouTube, ForbiddenKnowledgeTV.com, Toronto Sun, MSNBC, LAist.com, and there's more and more. From the Lompoc Record, and we mentioned Vandenberg, they launched the Delta II. That was Friday. However, just a few days before that, a military inspection scenario that apparently went awry at Vandenberg Air Force Base led to a lockdown order that kept people sheltered in buildings and drivers prevented from entering or leaving Tuesday. That would be November 2nd. Prevented from entering or leaving Tuesday afternoon amid concerns that a shooter was on the loose. Some 3 hours after the incident, base officials labeled it a misunderstanding that arose from the ongoing operational readiness inspection for Vandenberg's main unit, the 30th Space Wing. Officials ultimately confirmed that no shots were fired, no one was injured, and no threats ever occurred. This is a drill, and these are blanks. We go into a little bit more detail on that lockdown on Vandenberg in our previous B-Side episode 193 while we're going through the latest cyberspacewar.com news. We provide you the links over to that as well. So we have drills and misunderstandings and shooter scenarios. Nuke drill puts national focus on Kings Bay base in Georgia. So there are massive military drills being run, again, all while Barry Satoru is away on an Indian vacation, if you will. And the psyops grow. So we started to get the updates, and all through the first day, Monday, Tuesday, it was a missile. That was the story. That's what the Deputy Secretary of Defense said. But the next day, the story became, and we have the upshot, and Danger Room, and Fox. Experts, quote-unquote, think mystery missile, quote-unquote, was merely a plane, quote-unquote. Danger Room says it was probably a jet. And Michio Kaku, the physicist appearing on Fox News, says it's a plane. As we reference on the latest NewWorldNextWeek.com, Kaku has recently weighed in on aliens and climate threatagenda and the danger of conspiracy theorists. Ask the experts, as Jello Biafra would say. Well, okay, let's do this. I was about to take it a little further down the rabbit hole. But before we do that, let's listen to all of the mainstream media collected concerning the amazing, growing psyop of the mystery missile.
Well, now back to that mysterious missile launch. The bright light could easily be seen up in L.A., but tonight we're still trying to figure out what it was.
News8's Marcella Lee did some digging and joins us with how tough it was to find an answer, Marcella.
Probably, and Carla, we put in a lot of calls to the Navy and Air Force tonight about this, an incredible missile launch off the coast of L.A. around 5 p.m., but so far no one seems to know anything about this launch. But he showed the video to Ambassador Robert Ellsworth, the former Deputy Secretary of Defense, to get his thoughts.
And it's spectacular. It takes people's breath away.
Who launched this missile and why remain a mystery for now.
It is a big missile.
These magnificent images were captured from the KCBS News helicopter in Los Angeles around sunset. The location of the missile, west of L.A., north of Catalina Island, and approximately 35 miles out to sea.
You're looking at the L.A. Harbor.
A Navy spokesperson tells News8 this wasn't their missile. He says there was no Navy activity reported in that part of the region.
And we have liftoff.
On Friday night, Vandenberg Air Force Base launched this Delta II rocket, carrying the Thales Alenia Space Italia Cosmos SkyMed satellite. But a sergeant at the base tells News8 there have been no launches since then.
That's a pretty big contrary.
We showed the video to Robert Ellsworth, former U.S. ambassador to NATO and a former deputy secretary of defense.
It's not a tomahawk.
He said we should wait for definitive answers to come from the military. But when we asked him what he thought it could be...
Well, I'm just speculating.
Ellsworth said maybe, just maybe, with President Obama in Asia, this could have been a show of our military muscle.
It could be a test firing of an intercontinental ballistic missile from a submarine, underwater submarine, to demonstrate, mainly to Asia, that we could do that.
Ambassador Ellsworth says that was done in the Atlantic to demonstrate America's power to the Soviets when it was the Soviet Union, but he doesn't believe it's ever been done over the Pacific. But again, he emphasizes that is just speculation. And as of tonight, it remains a mystery missile. Barbara Lee?
Marcella, thanks. The next missile launch from Vandenberg Air Force Base is scheduled for sometime in December.
Well, a strange and somewhat disturbing story developing in California, where a missile was fired off the coast last night. And no one seems to know exactly who fired it or why. Jim Mikleshevsky is NBC News' Pentagon correspondent. And Mick, this sounds like a bad plot twist in the movie War Games.
This is really unbelievable. There was quite a display over the Pacific Ocean just off the coast there of Los Angeles. A CBS traffic helicopter at rush hour last night caught this image just before dawn. Now, over here at the Pentagon, senior military and Pentagon officials are scrambling to try to figure out exactly what this is. What it can't be, Chuck, is that this cannot be a planned U.S. military launch by any stretch of the imagination. They wouldn't do this near such a populated area as Los Angeles without informing the public well in advance. The other possibility is, of course, that it was a screw-up, that somebody on a U.S. military ship or even a low-flying aircraft punched the wrong button. If that's the case, U.S. military and Pentagon officials haven't gotten any explanations yet from any of the military services. The likely ones would be the Navy or the Air Force. So they're still trying to figure it out. Another possibility is it would be sophisticated but amateur rocketeers of some kind who put this device into the air meant to spew a large plume of smoke just for the spectacular nature of it all. But I can tell you that nobody here in the Pentagon has any clear idea yet what it is. And the words of one senior Pentagon official, this is bizarre, Chuck.
I got to ask you, Mick, if we're 12 hours removed from when this was spotted, you said it was rush hour last night, Los Angeles time, so let's say we're almost 12 hours removed. At this point, this is you would assume that, you know, every missile that it's in the United States military custody would have been accounted for by now, correct?
Yeah, that's what makes this so strange. While it does appear to be a substantial or a sizable missile with a substantial rocket power of some kind, nobody in the U.S. military is owning up to it quite yet. And I'm not saying that this is what happened, but anytime there's this kind of incident, what the U.S. military, it goes into a defensive crouch to try to get all the information,
sure,
cross every T, dot every I, to make sure they get the information information correct before they pass it up the chain. But even military officials here in the Pentagon are saying that doesn't appear likely here as of yet. So we'll just have to wait and see what the military comes up with. So far, nothing.
Do they know for sure that it was ground-based or that it was something from, it was off the coast? Was it on, you know, an island off the coast or on a boat, or they don't have that determination yet?
They don't. It appears to have come from over the water, which could have been from a boat, could have been from a submarine, could have been from a low-flying aircraft. I guess that's possible. Or it was somewhat near the island of Catalina, but I think anybody setting up a rocket of that size would have been noticed well before they would have been able to launch it.
Particularly in Catalina, that's for sure.
Right, absolutely. So it's either a boat or an airplane. So far, nobody has any clue.
With us now, the physicist, Michio Kaku. He is the author of Physics of the Impossible and is about to explain to us exactly what happened. Thank you for coming.
Glad to be on.
Help me. You've gone point by point by point.
Frame by frame. I've gone through the video.
So you stopped this video and you looked at frame by frame by frame. And what did you learn?
At first, I thought, oh, my God, an unauthorized launch of a ballistic missile. This is scandalous.
Or an accident.
Or an accident, right?
Yeah.
But then I said to myself, wait a minute. When you go frame by frame, something is wrong. First of all, the object is not accelerating. Rockets have booster rockets that take it to 18,000 miles per hour. This thing is cruising at a constant velocity. Second, it's changing direction slightly. Ballistic missiles never change directions. Third, it's going in the wrong direction. We fire from Los Angeles, Vandenberg. We fire east to west to Kwajalein in the Pacific, sometimes over up north, over a polar orbit. This thing is going northeast in the wrong direction. And also, even though it looks like it's going vertically up, maybe you're looking at it edge-on. When you look at an airplane going edge-on, it looks like it's going straight up when it's actually cruising very gently. Not only that, contrails expand rapidly at the base. The older it is, the larger they expand.
Like the contrail right there.
Right. So it looks as if that thing is moving away from you, right? Actually, it's probably moving toward you.
Oh.
It's an optical illusion caused by the fact that we look at the bottom, we think the bottom is closer than the top. But actually,
it's fatter.
Yeah, because it's fatter, because the contrails expand. Now, there's airplanes from Hawaii to Phoenix that go right over Los Angeles at around exactly the time, which is in question. So probably a commercial airliner that is cruising very slowly. And the killer is, this is now the smoking gun. We have radar analysis of the entire area. We see no evidence of a fast-moving object. All we see are airplanes. That's all we see in the area. So why doesn't the Pentagon simply come out and say what we physicists believe, that it is an airplane? And the reason is, it's always hard to disprove a negative.
Right.
It's always easier to prove a positive, but to disprove a negative is very difficult. You can't rule out this possibility or that probability with a certain percent error, right? That's why the Pentagon is being very coy about this, I think.
Missile Schmissel, a mystery object resembling a missile, goes shooting off the coast of California, and the Pentagon says, is it a cover-up or a real mystery? NBC has the video and the government's official line.
The video appears to show the missile flying right through one of the most crowded air traffic areas in the country, Los Angeles. But FAA officials tell NBC News they've reviewed air traffic control tapes, and those radar replays did not reveal a fast-moving object in that area.
But two experts disagree. They're defending the missile theory. There's a military test site right in the area where that object was flying. Another explanation, it's all about angles, ABC explains.
Another theory is that it's all an optical illusion. If a plane leaves a contrail while ascending into the sky on its trajectory, it may look like this. But if you look at the same object from another angle, with it traveling away from you, the contrails could make you think the object is going straight up.
And on CNN, a global security expert tells the media, forget about this object. Focus on the government's fumbled response.
Why the government is so badly organized that they're not able to get somebody out there to explain it and make this story go away. I think that's the real story. I mean, it's absolutely insane that for all of the money we're spending, for all of these technically competent people, that they can't get somebody out there to explain what's incredibly obvious.
Finally, MSNBC's Willie Geist can't help but poke fun at the story.
The Pentagon, the FAA, and NORAD are all denying that the unidentified object was in fact a missile. That ought to satisfy the conspiracy theorists, a government press release. A likely story.
So is this a case of mistaken missile identity, or is the truth still out there?
There you have it. Raising many, many, many questions, answering very few. Is it a conspiracy? Is it a cover-up? Is it an optical illusion? Is it a mystery missile? Is it just a jet contrail? And again, as we notice on the latest NewWorldNextWeek.com, this should beg the question, what in the world are they spraying? But let's throw in a couple of competing theories. We have military documents, nga.mil. Save that PDF. And this sources to whatreallyhappened.com as well as Blacklisted News. I found it all over my YouTube and Twitter and comments on Media Monarchy and Cyberspace War. A document confirming, that the U.S. Navy was testing missile launches off the coast of California. And the commentary from Mike Rivero, according to this official U.S. Navy document, the U.S. Navy is indeed conducting live-fire testing of missiles off the coast of California. This is a repeat of the situation with TWA-800, in which the U.S. Navy at first denied knowing what missile it was that witnesses reported seeing, only to have to admit to the ongoing tests of Aegis CEC when the notice, NOTAM, probably the action memorandum, surfaced a few days later. Now, Rivero continues, with this confirmation, he wants to address the rumor being seeded all over the blogs about a Chinese nuclear submarine. This story tracks back to only one dubious source, and the story is that a Chinese Jin-class nuclear ballistic missile submarine launched the mystery missile as a show of force to the United States. This rumor needs to be stopped now, Rivero notes. He would be, I believe, referring to Wayne Madsen of WayneMadsenReport.com, China fired mystery missile. And we do have more on this and quite a few postings following the mystery missile story on cyberspacewar.com. And again, we give a huge thanks to Alan in Omaha for taking on some of the editing and posting duties, helping spread this information. And again, if you would like to get involved in any way you could, mediamonarchy@gmail.com. So this other rumor, Wayne Madsen says China fired the mystery missile from a Jin-class submarine. What's it going to be? So again, my friends, we have all those stories and everything linked up and cross-posted with the drills and the optical illusions and the mystery missiles. And the way we'll get out of this was the very next day, the opposite coast, but again, the Columbia Broadcasting System. CBS2 chopper captures images of red-hot streak behind New York City skyline.
The bizarre glowing red-hot streak in the sky right at sunset, moving briskly behind the Manhattan skyline. CBS2 reached out to a top astronomer who looked at the video. He says it looks beautiful, but it's likely nothing more than what's known as contrail, condensation from a commercial or military jet. Aliens apparently are not...
It's like a comet racing across the sky.
Which,
like,
you know, this is also the same thing that they're saying is the explanation for what they caught out in Los Angeles yesterday. Which looked like a missile.
That.
They say it's this contrail.
Now, did you catch? I don't buy that. So these things get fishier and fishier, and that's how the psychological operation grows. So the next day, again, CBS, again with their occult connections, Skull and Bones, CIA, Henry Luce, OSS, opposite coast, all the while prepping us for the event. And again, we'll say, don't look up.
The memes swirl. All right, now we're going to move along. Move along, nothing to see here. Mystery missile no more. Our next post on MediaMonarchy.com is called Threataganda, Warnings, and Rumors. I initially put this up, I believe, last weekend. With all the things that were swirling, again, with the Obama-Messiah touring abroad, mystery missiles in the sky, post-selection post-mortems. But now, this post, Threataganda, Warnings and Rumors, has now been updated with 40% more paranoia. And we'll start this off with a piece from Danger Room. And it's hard to make these episodes sometimes feel like I can put a period on the end of a week as things keep spilling out, even as I'm on the air and then doing post-production, trying to upload the shows, it keeps spilling out. So we're talking about last week, and this week I would say only amplified it. But again, as Danger Room noted, did last week feel auspicious to anyone? Cyber Command became fully operational. Science took a major step forward, creating invisible materials. There was even a historic election. But more, the littoral combat ship design got schizophrenic, Navy SEALs faced charges of weapons running, the Joint Strike Fighter faced even more delays and cost increases, we went inside the mind of the printer bomber, the Air Force wanted to get inside the central nervous systems of its enemies, James Clapper took a big step forward, actually running the nation's giant spy apparatus, the U.S. got ready to intensify a shadow war in Yemen. And even through all that, revelations of the past burble to the surface. But Threataganda is a two-way street. And the alternative media can be just as guilty of spreading fear. And we want to take note of all of it. There were warnings about this past week. You can find it on 5doves.com. Of course, Obama and his family, with 300, or rather 3,000, supposedly, of his closest friends and cronies out of the country. Webbot predicting major event to take place between November 6th and the 13th this week. Pastor Lindsey Williams spilling more about Homeland Security and what he knows. Bank holiday rumors swirl amidst currency crisis. And just as these stories started to swirl, just as the bank holiday rumors started, with the world on the verge of a currency war as the Federal Reserve follows through on its dollar-killing QE2 program, rumors are once again swirling of a bank holiday during which U.S. citizens will be prevented from withdrawing money, or at least limited in the amount of withdrawal they can make. The bank holiday, rumored to be set for next week with Thursday, November 11th, that would be yesterday, pinpointed as the likeliest date. But interestingly enough, we did have ATM crashes that began spilling through Twitter. But the Orange County Register reported problems, part of a national outage, which prevented people from performing simple transactions. Computer issues were blamed for similar issues in Phoenix. While in Birmingham, Alabama, Wells Fargo, customers' online banking accounts and ATMs displayed incorrect balances. The banks primarily affected were Wells Fargo, Chase, and Bank of America, but according to blogger Philip Brennan, philipbrennan.net, who studied all the feeds and all the other message boards that alight with the story, numerous other financial institutions were also affected, including U.S. Bank, Compass, USAA, SunTrust, and on and on. believe my girlfriend even told me she saw a huge line at the ATM of our little credit union. What's the connection? Is there a connection? Again, I put together this thread again to post as I just was seeing the signs. Again, trying to do massive data sifting and data mining. Even looking at our own Oregonian, which is a rather sad paper, mostly filled with AP wire, New York Times wire, very little in the way of original reporting. So you know they're putting together the party line storyline. Storyline that plays out in newspapers, media outlets, mainstream media outlets across the country. And seeing these stories about flight school arrests raise terrorism fears. Federal officials arrested dozens of alleged illegal immigrants connected to a flight school in Stowe, Massachusetts, S-T-O-W, including the school's owner and students who received U.S. government clearance to train as pilots despite strict security controls put into place after 9/11. The arrest of 34 Brazilian nationals that began in July and concluded quietly last month raised troubling new questions about possible holes in the government's anti-terrorism security net, which bans illegal immigrants from taking flight lessons and requires background checks on any foreigner training to fly in the U.S. No link to terrorism has been found in connection with the Stowe Flight School. TJ Aviation Flight Academy at Minuteman Air Force Airfield, 30 miles northwest of Boston, U.S. immigration officials said. But all the update from the BostonChannel.com. Illegals say TSA approved their flight training.
Good evening, everyone. A Stowe flight school shut down. The owner and more than two dozen of its students arrested.
All were here illegally, and now the feds want to know how they were cleared to train as pilots. Sean Kelly begins 11 minutes of nonstop news live in East Boston. And, Sean, you spoke to some of those students tonight.
Right, and what they told us contradicts what the TSA sent to us in a statement today, claiming that the TSA does a thorough background check on all foreign nationals trying to take flight lessons, and that includes their immigration information.
At no point did TSA ask you if you had a visa?
No, I never heard about it.
Three of the 34 alleged illegal immigrants connected to this flight school in Stowe agreed to talk to News Center 5 on the condition of anonymity. Federal authorities targeted them over the last several weeks, as well as the training school, which has been shut down.
A lot of people consider myself as illegal here, but I'm an immigrant like so many other people.
The ones who spoke to us have expired visas, but came to America legally.
I did the application for TSA. They didn't ask. They looking for my background. They didn't find anything criminal.
They showed us documents from the Transportation Safety Administration approving piloting lessons through the federal agency's Alien Flight Student Program.
If I were not supposed to do it, they're supposed to block everything and stop it and not give me the permission.
After being allowed to fly for dozens of hours each, they risk being deported now, and they fear being stereotyped as some kind of foreign terrorists.
Actually, all the people are going to the school. We have to work hard, make money, pay the school, pay the taxes. Why should I be a terrorist?
The owner of the airport in Stowe said that he thinks this is just an immigration issue and has nothing to do with any kind of terrorism threat. The TSA added in their statement that they plan on reviewing the policy, the process that they go through before foreign nationals are approved for flight school. Live in Boston, Sean Kelly, News Center 5.
This immediately connects back to the exact scenario that played out pre-9/11. You had well-meaning, hardworking people within government agencies blowing the whistle on suspicious people trying to come into the country. J. Michael Springman at the visa office in Jeddah denied some of the hijackers their passes. He was overridden and told, "We know about them. Their terror designation is just a cover. We're already monitoring these individuals. Let them through." And, of course, we're going to get more into the insane expansions of the TSA Obama, Gates, and Clinton in Asia all at the same time, all expanding military buildup in the East. More on that from Global Research. And a guy named Mark Penn. Clintonite. Democrat pollster. What he recently said with Chris Matthews would be utterly shocking were it not just another entry in a long line of both sides of the fake left-right paradigm calling for terror attacks.
Has to reconnect with the people. Remember, President Clinton reconnected through Oklahoma, yeah. Right? And the president right
because
now,
the
he seems removed. And it wasn't until that speech that he re-clicked with the American public. Obama needs a similar kind
of... You think
of
words will work for President Obama at this point?
No.
Okay,
he's got to get some results. But words will work, okay. I think, if he finds that right moment.
He needs a terror event. As we've been telling you, and longtime listeners will know, back when we were tracking through all of this in the campaign 2008 season, that when the fake conservatives, known as Republicans, are in, the enemy is over there somewhere, and then the phony progressives, also known as the Democrats, come in, the enemy is within. So during the Clinton era, it was all about homegrown errorism and militias and McVeighs and Ruby Ridge and Waco. Michigan Mike and militia and all of that. And we're coming back to that, and they've been seeding that. Seeding the idea of homegrown terrorism. Dead or alive, Yemen orders arrest of radical cleric al-Awlaki. More on that from NationalTerrorAlert.com. Yes, the latest intelligence-connected terror mastermind. As everything ratchets up, Buckley Air Force Base F-16s in Colorado prepare for a mission to Brazil. TheState.com noting around the world, a race against time bombs in the air. That's toner terror, which of course we debunked for you last week, as these things keep growing and growing and growing and growing. Now running seemingly full force for well over a year now, with now a year past the Fort Hood. And then we had the Christmas underpants bomber and Times Square time bomb and the Pentagon geometrical shooter and all of these events. But the ridiculous level to which the American people will put themselves through complete humiliation is mounting against the TSA. Paul Joseph Watson noting that even the populist DrudgeReport.com stirred national debate on TSA abuse of passengers through the dangerous naked body scanners and invasive groping measures, culminating in an onslaught of resistance from numerous prominent travel and pilots associations and leading to the organization of a national opt-out day coming November 24th. TSA groping people with new pat-down procedures. As we told you last week, they want to get you to choose the naked body scanner, which has already been shown to be abused. They're saving photos, movie stars passing those around, laughing at coworkers' genitals, and it also destroys your DNA and radiates you. But they're not making it any better for themselves as it just gets worse and worse and worse. TSA fondles women and children refusing naked body scanners. TSA official put white powder into flyers' bags and told them they were under arrest for coke. He has been busted. I believe we reported on that story when it first happened several months ago. I think now the documents are out and boing boing and a smoking gun have it. So here we have it for you again. TSA employee arrested for stealing out of luggage and trying to sell it on eBay. However, he made the mistake of trying to steal fancy cameras from news workers and, I believe, even HBO employees. TSA cuffs radio host Meg McLean to a chair, rips up her ticket. And all the while, the TSA claims no fondling or groping or squeezing is taking place at airports. And we've seen more and more outlets call for a revolution. We need a violent revolution. That's the only thing we can do. That's our only option, we're being told by our corporate media talking heads. MSNBC's Dylan Radigan, who we've noted here in the last several months, has put out great talks. No one side of the phony opposition has a monopoly on truth or BS, and truth slips through on all angles. MSNBC's Dylan Radigan invited his guest Ted Rall to advocate violent revolution. And as we've noted in the protests, when we see violence taking place for an unnamed masked provocateurs that somehow magically always have the same boots as the military do when they get busted, and it connects back to Delta Force or God knows what. But we talked about the lockdown at Vandenberg and the drills connected to military bases and shooter hoaxes and mystery missiles and streaks in the sky. Police lift lockdown on Florida schools. Now, this goes back 2 days to Wednesday. Police lifted the lockdown on all schools and district facilities in Broward County, Florida, Wednesday after receiving information that a threat to the facilities had diminished. School and government offices across the county had been secured by police after a caller on a local radio station said her husband intended to go to a school and fire a gun. He said the radio station also received an email saying something big will happen at a government building. Police said they're continuing efforts to trace the email and the call, but have not located the people involved. Police had requested the full-scale lockdown as a precautionary measure. The school system's administrative offices were also locked down. The county has 231 traditional schools and centers. On and on. Possible threat. The interesting update from this story, and we get it from McClatchy, one of the last few decent, large media outlets, and their slogan is Truth to Power. Radio host declines GOP job in Washington after threat. The radio host who made comments that may have triggered a threat against Broward County schools has announced she's stepping down as chief of staff for a recently elected conservative congressman. Meanwhile, the phone call warning of the attack that led to a 3-hour lockdown has been traced to a caller outside South Florida. Radio talk show host Joyce Kaufman, who just earlier this week was named Representative-elect Alan West's chief of staff, said she didn't want to tarnish West's reputation. I will not be used in an electronic lynching by proxy. Police said the call came into WFTL 8:50 a.m. and was made by a woman from outside South Florida who said her husband was planning to carry out a mass shooting. I don't think I need to spend any more time on that as these copycat effects spill out. Florida SWAT raids on the unmitigated terror of unlicensed barbershops. Thank you, Florida SWAT teams, for saving us from those evil unlicensed barbershops being run by dark-skinned people. And this, again, is what it comes down to. They're going to ring us for every little bit. As now the rats that haven't left this sinking ship, we're all going to be forced to fight over the crumbs. And they're going to ring us out for every little debt that they can get. And bust you for every little thing. So we can't take care of the schools, and you can't fix the roads, and you can't take care of any of the larger issues going on in these communities that would have unlicensed barbershops. You can kick down the door like it's your call of duty. That's the other meme we're going to get to. Black Ops. From NationalTerrorAlert.com, yet again, and I saw this in the print edition of one of the dirty newspapers. FBI investigators have a simple message for the shooter who's hit the Pentagon, a Marine museum, and two military recruiting stations in the Washington area. call us. Authorities want to talk to the person they believe may be an ex-Marine who has a gripe with the Corps. And they make reference to, of course, the DC sniper. Documents detail rogue Navy SEALs gun running and also their work on Transformers 3. That's right. The military entertainment complex rages on. And we throw out another reference for you as the stories just keep documenting more and more, whether it's the New York Times or in this case the Washington Post. U.S. agencies were forewarned about suspect in 2008 Mumbai bombings. I believe the New York Times story is that DEA deployed agent despite warnings. David Headley, as part of the Mumbai terror event. And just the way to go out with a bang, if you will, on this posting, Threatiganda, Warnings and Rumors, which, again, we'll remind you, was updated with 40% more paranoia. The last two come, again, from nationalterroralert.com. And this should help show you the ridiculous levels that things are reaching. And unfortunately, this becomes the background noise. Someone hears that while they're making dinner, while they have Fox News on, and they hear that terrorists plotted to bomb a U.S. plane with exploding dogs. And then, just so, you know, we can get the war on Christmas going, NationalTerrorAlert.com asking the question, is Al-Qaeda planning to plant bombs in Christmas toys? Wouldn't that be the Al-Qaeda that stole Christmas? We're going to move now to the latest news purge. The news purge is what I call just a big, long list of headlines, all broken down into their subjects that will remind folks, mediamonarchy@gmail.com, if some of these areas are your forte, such as the drug war, or history mystery, or some of the occult and holy hexes. Let's grow this independent monarchy. The 11/11 news purge. Shoot the Death Star down. That line comes from our opening song of this episode, Strange News from Another Star, from Blur. And we'll start off quickly with just a few 9/11 updates. Amazingly enough, and we catch this from Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, ae911truth.org, and we'll remind you, we did interview Richard Gage back at the Conspiracy Conference in June. Again, you can find all that in the archives, feeds.feedburner.com/mediamonarchy. Colorado Democrats call for new 9/11 investigation. It's true. The Democratic platform for the state of Colorado is the first major party in the U.S. to adopt a resolution for a new investigation into the official story of the events surrounding 9/11. It started in 2004 when Richard Gage, a complete novice in political process, decided to participate in precinct caucus in order to try and make a difference in Colorado. The night before, I learned that the caucus is also a time to bring policy resolutions for consideration. Hurriedly, I wrote a resolution for a new and independent investigation into 9/11, figuring that here's an opportunity at least to educate a few more people. To my surprise, my precinct caucus neighbors voted for it. And that's how it happens. But then on the flip side, 911blogger.com reporting on Gawker.com trashing the truthers while reporting on the fact that Rory Albanez, Daily Show producer, assaulted a We Are Change activist asking questions of John Leibowitz of the Rally for Sanity. Why they stay away from 9/11 Truth. Why the jesters won't touch 9/11 Truth. Bill Maher, Jon Stewart, lesser extent Colbert. That reminds me of the great clip where Luke Radowski gets Stephen Colbert to talk about the Bohemian Grove and the Bilderbergs on the show again. So there's more if you want to dive back into the recent Bread and Circus. I think we've done it pretty well for you in the past few weeks there. But another ghost from Halloween weekend past, from the Telegraph, Osama bin Laden appoints new commander to spearhead war on the West, known to Western intelligence services by the alias of Saif al-Adel, or Sword of the Just. Al-Qaeda's new chief of international operations is believed to have conceived the wave of strikes that set off terror alerts across Europe recently, as well as last week's mid-air parcel bomb plot. Interestingly enough, if you follow through this whole story, there's really no other reference to Osama bin Laden appointing this new al-CIA to patsy to spearhead the war on the West, but there it is in the headline, again, to put the fear of Emmanuel Goldstein into you. So the 9/11 updates are our first bit on this 11/11 news purge. And we are going to take a brief musical break in just a few minutes when we get to our Econo Crash news. And we'll go on a little quick bank holiday. But let's go ahead and take this moment before we get into the bio wars and Big Pharma to remind you, you're listening to the 194th episode of Media Monarchy. It's November 12th, 2010, the year we make contact. And my name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. Huge thanks to the Portland Radio Authority, where you can hear the show live every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, praradio.org. And thanks to ZeroPointRadio.com, RevereRadio.net, FrOlympia.org, BerkeleyLiberationRadio.net, OneSkyRadio.com, KBOO.info, Radio23.org, TragedyAndHope.com, GroundZeroMedia.org, CorbettReport.com. Are there more? There probably is many, many more. As we noted in previous weeks, with my new little Wi-Fi pod, Twitter.com/Media Monarchy has also exploded with content. Perhaps if we have a few extra moments at the end of this show, we'll spool down the list of tweets over the last week. And again, we'd like to remind you, please, if you find this show informative, infotaining, or damn near indispensable, please donate. Hit the button on the top of MediaMonarchy.com. Anything helps support independent media. The domain names, the Skype credit, the P.O. Box, which I'll remind you is P.O. Box 12165, Portland, Oregon 97212. And that message is repeated for you at the end of the show by our little computer voice outro. But of course, it's also on the top of MediaMonarchy.com. So let's continue and get into BioWars and EnviroHealth with a story we covered on the latest NewWorldNextWeek.com episode. Natural News extrapolates the story, and that is what I read from on New World Next Week. So in this case, let's just jump to the source. Let's jump to Reuters, owned by the Rothschilds. And their article is called, "Look Out, Your Medicine is Watching You. Novartis AG plans to seek regulatory approval within 18 months for a pioneering tablet containing an embedded microchip, bringing the concept of smart pill technology a step closer. The initial program will use one of the Swiss firm's established drugs taken by transplant patients to avoid organ rejection." But Trevor Mundell, global head of development, believes the concept can be applied to many other pills. He sees the promise as going much beyond that. Ingestible chips activated by stomach acid. What could possibly go wrong? It couldn't be that microchips implanted into our animals as part of the National Animal Identification System has been proven in laboratories to grow tumors. And as we've noted, Wired Magazine, going back many years now, noting the hackability of microchips and RFID readers. All you got to do is come between the signal and the reader and hijack that, and you could get into someone's apartment building or destroy their entire financial medical history. Just like at the end of Fight Club, maybe. Drug firm hired athletes luring doctors to play ball. That's from the Washington Times, noting how, again, Novartis hired famous athletes to be at their events where then Big Pharma would pitch their ideas and their latest wonderful products to the doctors. So there's more than enough shame on everybody to go around that. But a story from yourtango.com, women without kids up 80% from 30 years ago. And we give you the flashback link to, back in August, an episode from CorbettReport.com on the underpopulation bomb. This is also something gone into in great detail, very well, in the pilot episode of What You've Been Missing, the new show from the folks that brought you Peace Revolution and TragedyAndHope.com. Multiple independent lab tests confirm oil in Gulf shrimp. More on that from Raw Story. I believe that's one of their exclusives. Digital Journal reporting on more nuke woes. We could have put this into our threadaganda with drills and lockdowns and military bases and mystery missiles. There was an explosion at Indian Point in New York. There was a new leak at the Vermont Yankee nuclear plant. Meanwhile, the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, kicks off Operation Orange Flame, a biowarfare drill. Meanwhile, we'd like to ask the question, why is Russia building 5,000 more nuke shelters to be done by 2012? This was reported back in July, but endoftheamericandream.com has updated the story, and I think when we tie it in with everything we just told you, it starts to make a hell of a lot more sense. We have a couple drug war notes, and the first one is from technocult.net with the provocative title, Why Smart People Do More Drugs. Evolutionary psychologist Satoshi Kanazawa has recently been publishing a version of his Savanna IQ interaction hypothesis at Psychology Today. His theory, amongst many other things, establishes a connection between intelligence, novelty-seeking, and the consumption of psychoactive drugs. Or, as the Atlantic Wire put it, smart people do more drugs because of evolution. The quick version is that Kanazawa believes that more intelligent individuals are better equipped to deal with novel situations and, in fact, seek those situations out. Thus, highly intelligent individuals are more likely to seek out experiences with psychoactive drugs, which are essentially novelty sinks. He's not claiming that this behavior has a traditionally positive effect. In fact, his wording shows a pretty strong bias against psychoactive experimentation, but simply that people with high IQs are more likely to seek these experiences out. What struck me is not that he found proof of this tendency, eyeballing the amount of PhDs in the room the last time I tripped has me anecdotally primed for such a conclusion, but interestingly, it matches Terence McKenna's stoned ape theory of human cognitive development. The other bad note from allgov.com, marijuana growers voted against Prop 19. And maybe it was a good thing. Just one of the arguments notes that when marijuana is legalized, large corporations will move in and squeeze out small growers, as has happened with more traditional agricultural crops. And some simply see it as a threat to their economic livelihood. Illegal substances bring a larger profit margin than legal ones. The wholesale price of marijuana is expected to drop by almost two-thirds with legalization. And it seems as though they're still talking about it as if it's an eventual inevitability, which it should be, but much like these other amazing technological advances which could be used to liberate humanity are being wielded by the same eugenics elite and multi-generational serial killers to attempt to enslave us. I believe there's another drug war note, but it's down in the Oregon oddities. So, we're going to get into the Econo Crash as we speed down this 11-11 news purge, shoot the Death Star down, and again, shoot the Death Star down the line from Strange News from Blur at the top of the show. Let's go back to their 1993 album, Park Life, and that's the one that turned me on to them, still back in high school. And I didn't really know what it was then, but it makes a hell of a lot more sense now. Blur, Bank Holiday.
Grandma's new dentures, the crust on pizza, taken out by her daughter, because she bought Chipotle, kids are eating Snickers, because they're so delicious, and it's sticky fingers,
the mother loses her makeup,
Bank Holiday comes 6 times a year, let's have a joint and see which everyone cheers, Bank Holiday comes a 6-pack of beer, and it's back to work,
barbecue is cooking, sausage is chicken,
and you know it's buzzing,
and neighbors they are looking,
Johnny's down at Fun Pub,
drinking lots of lager,
girls and boys are on the game,
all the hype's got the same,
Bank Holiday comes 6 times a year, they don't join them to reach everyone cheers, Bank Holiday comes 6-pack of beer, then it's back to work,
Blur, Bank Holiday, and we're back pretty quickly there. Episode 194 of Media Monarchy. It's November 12th, 2010, the year we make contact. My name's James Evan Pilato, your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com. On to Econo Crash, and we'll start it with what we hit on the latest NewWorldNextWeek.com episode, China says G20 should monitor the U.S. Federal Reserve. Bringing us closer to one world currency. It's what all of this ultimately is leading to. You can see that now, right? That could even be the outcome of an audit of the Federal Reserve, which we need. But it could just be another event used as problem, reaction, solution. But we'll keep watching the signs. As we've noted repeatedly, as we see the larger stories with their memes weave through other seemingly unrelated stories, we have the recent 100th anniversary of the hatching of the demon known as the Federal Reserve at Jekyll Island in 1910. Last week, this generation of multi-generational serial killers and banksters headed off to Jekyll Island once again to celebrate 100 years of destroying the United States. Like George Soros says, he's having a very good crisis. Like Goldman Sachs say, they're doing God's work. On that stage, in Jekyll Island, you had all our favorite banksters. And just as we said, sometimes from depending on which controlled corporate media head, little nuggets of truth will slip out. Just like here, where Greenspan admits to banking fraud on the Jekyll Island stage, surrounded by Bernanke and the banksters.
There are two fundamental reforms that we need to get adequate capital, and two, to get far higher levels of enforcement of fraud, statutes, existing ones. I'm not even talking about new ones. Things were being done which were certainly illegal and clearly criminal in certain cases, which in fraud is a fact. Fraud creates very considerable instability in competitive markets. If you cannot trust your counterparties, it won't work. And indeed, we saw that it didn't.
Admitting to massive fraud. Of course, not personally culpable. Perhaps he's just shedding light on the whole Ponzi scheme operation. Try this and see where it gets you. But Bankster, hit and run. Bankster won't face hit and run felony because it could jeopardize his job. Financial manager for wealthy clients will not face felony charges for a hit and run because it could jeopardize his job. Martin Joel Erzinger faces two misdemeanor traffic charges stemming from a July 3rd incident when he hit bicyclist Dr. Stephen Milo from behind, then sped away. Erzinger can't be troubled with these felony accusations. He needs to continue pumping up the Ponzi scheme at Morgan Stanley. Banks spying on your bills, rent payments, paychecks. The age of the plain old credit score is gone, says a report from the Rupert Murdoch-controlled Wall Street Journal, and it's been replaced by ever more intrusive efforts by banks and credit agencies to gauge or gouge exactly what you're worth and what you can pay. To that end, financial firms are now tracking their customers' bank deposits, rent payments, or home values, and even utility bills to figure out who may soon become a financial risk. This all coming from Karen Blumenthal, writing for the Wall Street Journal. So, for example, if your employer pays you through direct deposits, and those deposits stop, financial institutions can now have warning that your money situation's likely to tighten and may deny you credit on that basis. But the efforts won't stop there. New areas of research. Income estimation took off earlier this year, Wall Street Journal reports. It involves financial firms collecting information about mortgages, personal loans, credit history to determine how much an individual makes and how much credit they should be given. In this era of deep data mining, even your utility bills and rent check aren't out of bounds. Targeting your cell phones, targeting social networking sites. And we see many, many corporations acquiring the services of private military contractors because they know things are getting tighter. So Disney, Goldman Sachs acquiring, even Monsanto acquiring the services of Blackwater or Z or any other black op agency. We reported last week to you all around Indiana placing armed guards at unemployment offices. And just a reminder that, of course, Obamasiah was in India. And, of course, we've got APEC, G20, all these other summits, shows coming very soon. Harley Davidson to build bikes in India. Barry Satoro pushing, of course, the best kind of sourcing, outsourcing. That's what makes economies crumble. That's what makes nations merge into a union. You break their financial back long after their moral or spiritual back has been broken, and they're assimilated into the European Union, into the North American Union. Those are the things for me that should really paint it out to folks. But let's flesh it out more. 18 iconic products that America doesn't make anymore. We noted last week, Pontiac bit the dust. They're done. There's a long video on this tech ticker Yahoo posting, of course, about how Anheuser-Busch is now owned by InBev. only then did they put the Great American Beer on their logo. Only when they became non-American did they begin to lie to you about it being American. So how about Rawlings Baseball? Not produced in America since 1969. How about Etch-A-Sketch since the year 2000? Converse Shoes since 2001. Made in China. Stainless Steel Rebar, Mattel Toys, Minivans, Vending Machines, Levi Jeans, Red Flyer, Red Wagons, Televisions, Cell Phones, Railroads, Dell Computers, Canned Sardines, Pontiac Cars, Forks, Spoons, Knives, Incandescent Light Bulbs. And there you go. Destroy the production. Create nothing but consumers. And then use your slow kill eugenics operations to get rid of the useless eaters being engineered into a brave new world. Report suggests alcohol consumption rising as the depression deepens. More on that from shtfplan.com. Of course, when the poo-poo hits the oscillator. Washington's blog has a great note on how to save America in 1 week. If only it were that simple, and if only we had time to get into it. But of course, it would take basically putting your body upon the wheels, upon the gears, as the system has become so odious, if I may paraphrase. But again, we return to the note of agent provocateurs of false flag activities. UK anarchists turn tuition protest into violent melee. As we see time and time again. Once again, dispatched agent provocateurs turned a deadly, or rather turned a peaceful protest into a property-destroying circus sideshow. It was supposed to be a day of peaceful protest with students exercising their democratic right to demonstrate against soaring university fees, reported the Daily Mail. But anarchists hijacked the event, setting off the most violent scenes of student unrest seen in Britain for decades. Militants from far-left groups whipped up a mix of middle-class students and younger college and school pupils into a frenzy. Back in the day, anarchists would have criticized the very idea of state-run universities and would have denounced the act of stealing money from one segment of society to pay the tuition of another. But now, of course, the balaclava-clad anarchists are the vanguard of those resentful of the fact the free lunch is over and the state cannot afford to continue the educational boondoggle. So-called anarchists apparently no longer support the philosophy that the authority of the state has no place in conduct of human relations, including education. Anarchism today translates into mindless property destruction by dim-witted hooligans, used as justification by the state to attack democratic protesters and minimize their minor disagreements with the government and its institutions. On to geopolitics. Sweden joining Norway in alleging U.S. embassies spied. I believe we reported to you last week about Norway, but now Sweden has joined in alleging U.S. embassies spied on their citizens. People linked with the U.S. embassy in Stockholm have performed surveillance activities in Sweden without the knowledge of the host nation's authorities, a government official said Saturday. Surveillance has been going on since 2000. That's 10 years. But Swedish authorities are still not aware of how widespread the practice was. It seems as though we haven't been fully informed, and that's not good. Japan Coast Guard official admits China video leak. This goes to the BBC, and this goes back to the story of supposedly a Chinese boat ramming a Japanese vessel, and now we have video basically, I think, showing that, and now the video has leaked. Our third and final geopolitical note from MSNBC, General Electric. Russia hunts agent who betrayed U.S. cell. Let's see, is this on the front page of the breaking news? Nope, not anymore. This is Russia hunting the guy who outed the spy cell that we reported on for you here a few months ago. Best known, of course, with the amazingly beautiful redhead Russian spy whose name now escapes me. We now move into history mystery, and some of the stories aren't so old. But as we see, sometimes folks have a hard time remembering last year, let alone last week or last decade. We've noted some of the bits coming out from advanced copies of the new Bush memoir, Decision Points, which, of course, he sat on till after the elections, like a good puppet in the fake left-right paradigm. Playing along quite well. Everyone plays their part. I won't investigate you if you don't put out your book while I'm trying to run. And they're all cousins anyway. A family of secrets, if you will. So we have some of the stories, some of the more stories spilling out from Decision Points. And of course, Shrub launched the book on NBC with Matt Lauer. And I believe we reported to you last week that thought about taking Cheney off the ticket, or at least offered if he wanted to go, or Cheney offered if he wanted to go, or blah, blah, blah. He did say that the Kanye West moment was the lowest point of his presidency, which I hope we noted last week. Seems that Kanye West made his name with the amazing smashing of controlled media. George Bush doesn't care about black people. And he's only parlayed that into becoming a Illuminati-worshipping buffoon. Check out VigilantCitizen.com. So we have some more revelations, but the way we're going to get into this is a book that we haven't really noted here on the show, and that's probably not a good thing. Russ Baker put out a book, I believe well over a year ago, called Family of Secrets. And in a way to help generate interest in the book, and it worked for me, and again, thanks to BrassCheckTV.com, Russ Baker put a new promo video together for his book, Family of Secrets, with rebuttal points, two bits from the Bush interview. Family of Secrets author Russ Baker rebuts Bush decision points.
Hi, I'm Russ Baker, investigative journalist and author of Family of Secrets. My book is a new exploration of George W. Bush, his family, and their impact on America and the world. Now, Bush has his own book out, and he's made some comments about it, to which I'd like to respond.
When I sat down to write my memoirs, I decided to take an untraditional approach. Rather than provide an exhaustive chronological account of my life and years in office, I wanted to give readers a glimpse of the presidency from my perspective.
Is he really shattering the conventions of political autobiography? They say he's been strikingly candid about his journey, but I've spent 5 years investigating what he really did, who he really is, and the real story of how he became president. You won't find any of it in his book, but you'll find all of it in mine.
The book opens with a personal decision, quitting drinking at age 40, a decision I could not have made without faith.
The story of how George Bush got religion and became born again was fabricated, including a phony walk on the beach with the Reverend Billy Graham. Family of Secrets takes you inside the kitchen of the evangelical political advisor whose so-called red memo convinced Bush that by presenting himself as a fundamentalist, he could take the presidency.
I write a little bit about the experiences that forged my character. Growing up in West Texas, being a son of a president, meeting my wife Laura, and raising our twin daughters. I describe the path that led me into politics and ultimately to make one of the toughest decisions of my life, running for president of the United States.
The real story of what he was doing involved drugs, abortion, and other activities that Bush himself would later condemn as a politician. This would have destroyed his family politically were it not for a cover-up orchestrated by his father that has lasted for decades. It's all detailed and footnoted in Family of Secrets.
Then I describe the horror and heroism of September the 11th, 2001, when America suffered the most devastating surprise attack since Pearl Harbor. 9/11 changed the course of history, and led to the hardest decision any president can make, deploying American troops into combat.
George W. Bush's former writing partner told me that Bush was already talking about his desire to invade Iraq 2 years before 9/11 and before he was even the Republican nominee for the presidency.
I write about the response to Katrina.
Of course, Bush couldn't have foreseen the disaster in New Orleans. But he did have an incompetent show horse investigator running America's disaster response team. In Family of Secrets, I show how Michael Brown's appointment at FEMA was part of a broader agenda to destroy government agencies and outsource their functions to financial backers and private industry. I'm traveling the country talking about our hidden history and how we are manipulated into acting against our own interests by the most ruthless disinformation machine the world has known. That's the real story of Bush and the story found in Family of Secrets. They're printing 1.5 million copies of Bush's book. Maybe you're going to read it. That's fine. But please read mine too. Help inject some real facts into the American conversation. Thank you.
That's Russ Baker, author of Family of Secrets, and that is his video rebuttal to the new Bush memoir, Decision Points, and a couple more points. Apparently, we learned from the book, this coming from the Spy Talk blog from the Washington Post, White House biowar alarm went off in 2002. How do you like that? Wonder if that has anything to do with White House staffers being on the anti-anthrax drug weeks before the staged anthrax attacks. But furthermore, in swirling around the reemergence of the Bush crime family, former UK intelligence chairman basically stops short of just calling Bush a liar, noting that waterboarding didn't stop terror plots. Representative Jerome Nadler, I believe out of New York, calls it a shameful dereliction of duty not to prosecute Bush. And who's not prosecuting Bush? That would be the Barry Satoro Justice Department with his old buddy Eric Holder. Here's that other headline on David Headley. DEA deployed Mumbai plotter despite warning. That one's from the New York Times. This one should have been reported to you last week, but again, my friends, there's so much we're swirling around. Ted Sorensen, dead at 82. He helped create the Kennedy mystique. He was a close confidant and aide to John F. Kennedy. And our last history mystery note, secret subway stop revealed in New York City. This from the Yahoo Newsroom. And it's a fascinating glimpse where now riders in the know can take a certain train down a certain way, and you can see this lost secret subway tunnel. Is it all a part of the revelation of the method? Into the Holy Hexes, world's tallest Jesus statue completed in Poland. You should see the photos. More on that from CNN's Belief blog. Meanwhile, from Faith World, Michelle Obama dons headscarf at Indonesian mosque. As these memes play out, as we already reported to you, canceling an appearance by Obama because he would have to wear the garb, and of course can't be associated with what it says on his old paperwork that says Barry Satoro, Islam. But into the media memes, MSNBC briefly suspended Olbermann after his donation to the Democrats was disclosed. I believe he was only off the air ultimately for only a day, I believe, or two. And that gave me the opportunity to tweet to folks that if their favorite sportscaster, and that's what Olbermann was on Sports Night, hey, if your favorite sportscaster just got suspended, maybe you could watch What You've Been Missing. WYBM.blip.tv. The other little interesting tie-in from markcrispinmiller.com, Tucker Carlson's funny little black op against Olbermann. He basically posed as Olbermann in email to do a fake interview, punking the media. And if we can have people like Tucker Carlson destroying and fighting with people like Keith Olbermann and fighting with... Let all the mainstream corporate-controlled media talking heads tear themselves apart. It's just incumbent on us to not do the same. In addition to all the other interesting predictive programming media playing at your megaplexes, we also have the Plame Game. In the rush to war, even a spy is fair game. Fair game being the new Naomi Watts, Sean Penn film about Valerie Plame. I give you a link to our local Willamette Week's review of this, and they break it down quite scathingly. More left-wing guilt with Sean Penn milking it for all he can. VigilantCitizen.com getting into Michael Jackson's new album cover, rife with symbolism. Sony, the corporation that was run by Tony Mottola, whom Michael Jackson referred to in videos as being the devil. And you can get more into that on VigilantCitizen.com and on the Esoteric Kitten MK Hollywood series on YouTube. Meanwhile, Amazon defended selling the Pedophiles Guide. However, in the course of less than 24 hours, it didn't take long before the protests mount and our update from CNN, Pedophiles Guide pulled from Amazon.com. And we last note in media memes here from InformationWeek.com, Black Ops shatters sales record. When the mystery missile meme was flying around, so to speak, on Twitter, monitoring the trends, I saw that Black Ops was a trending topic, and it blew my mind. Oh my God, are people on Twitter and the social networks now talking about Black Ops and false flag terrorism? These things are getting out there, thanks in no small part to the alternative media. But alas, it's just a video game. Call of Duty. Black Ops. Chris Floyd of Empire Burlesque notes the timing of this Call of Duty Black Ops with mystery missiles and Obama abroad. And so we make reference to Tucker Carlson's funny little Black Op against Olbermann. Black Ops shatter sales record. Our one note of murder and mayhem, of course, from NationalTerrorAlert.com. Bay Bridge commute halted by standoff with gunmen. I believe it ended, fortunately, peacefully. I believe, and it, of course, relates to our current greatest depression. A few more notes on Obamasiah. From his speech, the economic collapse blog.com. Basically extrapolates and reads between the lines of the great teleprompter-in-chief's speech, where he basically says, embrace globalism and the coming one-world economy. Now, excellent information coming from some of the best-known foundation-funded, controlled opposition left, but we can even joke that even a broken clock is right twice a day. As Obama arrived in Jakarta, secret documents show the U.S.-backed Indonesian Special Forces units targeting Papuan churches and civilians. Change.
While Obama touts the so-called U.S.-Indonesia Comprehensive Partnership, human rights activists are calling on Obama to tackle U.S. support for atrocity-linked Indonesian military forces. Earlier this year, the Obama administration lifted a 12-year-old ban on the training of the notorious Indonesian military unit known as Kopassus. The Special Forces unit has been involved in scores of human rights abuses in East Timor, in Aceh, in Papua and Java since its formation in the 1950s. According to Human Rights Watch, at least 11 of 18 Kopassus soldiers convicted for human rights abuses since 1998 are still serving in the Indonesian military. Today, we'll spend the hour looking at the human rights situation in Indonesia and the U.S. role in abuses continuing to the current day. Joining us from Indonesia, from the capital Jakarta, where President Obama is veteran journalist and activist Alan Nairn. In 1991, we were both in East Timor and witnessed and survived the Santa Cruz massacre, in which Indonesian forces killed more than 270 Timorese. The soldiers fractured Alan's skull. Allen has now uncovered U.S. support for Indonesian military assassinations and torture of civilians. Earlier this year, he was threatened with arrest after revealing the Indonesian military's involvement in the assassination of political activist in Aceh. And just today, he's published on his website, allennairn.com, details of leaked Indonesian documents he says reveal Kopassus' engagement in, quote, murder and abduction and the targeting of churches in West Papua and defining civilian dissidents as the enemy. We are joined by Allen Nairn in Jakarta right now. The documents are posted on his website at allennairn.com. Allen, welcome to Democracy Now! Can you start off by responding to President Obama's visit to Indonesia, the first visit since his childhood?
Well, it's nice to be able to go back to your where you grew up, but you shouldn't bring weapons as a gift. You shouldn't bring training for the people who are torturing your old neighbors. Obama said in his press conference that he wants to reach out to the Muslim world. He said there's been misunderstanding, mistrust. Well, one way to start reaching out would be to the Muslims and also the Christians and the Hindus, Buddhists in Indonesia. Cut out all U.S. support for the Indonesian army that has killed hundreds of thousands of Indonesian civilians, as well as civilians in formerly occupied East Timor. And for the rest of the Muslim world, stop attacking Afghanistan, Iraq, stop the drone raids on Pakistan, Yemen, Kenya, elsewhere. That would be the beginning of a meaningful outreach, stopping your criminal acts. But Obama is not willing to do that because he inherited a U.S. Apparatus that worldwide in dozens of countries backs forces that kill civilians. And he elected to let it keep on running as it was, to keep it set on a kill. People who advise Bush or back Bush now praise Obama. They say that he has continued the Bush approach. And he has. In fact, he's made it even worse by intensifying the attacks on Afghanistan and opening up a new front of open war in Pakistan. The sentiment about Obama's return home would be more meaningful if he didn't bring violence.
As Obama arrived in Jakarta, secret documents show U.S.-backed Indonesian Special Forces Unit targeted churches and civilians. This reminds us of what we just reported for you just a few weeks ago. Mexican cartel, military-style, drug-running gangsters being trained at Fort Bragg in North Carolina, which should remind us of folks like Noriega being trained at Fort Benning or the School of Americas. We fund and train our eventual enemies. The CIA and all the intelligence ops are about destabilization. That's what they do. That's why we still have Brzezinski and Gates stirring up the Middle East, because that's what they're good at. That's what sells weapons contracts. That's what whips up the jingoistic frenzy. Indians defy Obama, globalism, Zionism, and war. That's from KennySideshow.blogspot.com, showing tons of photo evidence of the massive protest meeting Obama. We even get into that on foodworldorder.com on the Obama Go Back protest and his connection to the eugenics operations of Monsanto and genetically modified organisms and the mass growing suicides of Indian farmers. Reuters, in their Faith World blog, noting Muslims say Obama failing to keep Cairo promises when he went to Cairo when the when Akhenaten went to the pillars in Cairo. But I digress. Our last Obama side note comes from Webster Tarpley on Tarpley.net and his post-selection advice for desperate Dems, and that would be dump Pelosi, dump Obama, and tax Wall Street and stop foreclosures. Fairly simple. Our last couple of notes on this 11-11 news purge. Shoot the Death Star down. We have some Oregon oddities. And I read this right in the Oregonian. So even as I was saying earlier, their coverage isn't that good. But of course, with a story like this, former CIA spy Jim Nicholson pleads guilty in Portland courtroom to acting as an agent for Russians. We reported this story when Jim Nicholson was busted. It also connects to his son. So far, not connected to the Anna Chapman sexy redhead Russian spy. But the interesting note, Jim Nicholson, from right here in Portland, Oregon, is the first Central Intelligence Agency operative to ever be convicted twice of spying. Our other Oregon oddities, worried medical marijuana growers protecting their crops with anti-theft booby traps, again from the Oregonian, as well tying into the Columbia meme that is ever-present. Gunman invades home of Columbia sportswear chairman. Her name's Gert Boyle. You know her from all those commercials. They are based right here in Oregon. She was home invaded. Guy got busted. Google News noting he's set for court as of 2 hours ago. Columbia, check out their logo. And check out the symbolism, the occult symbolism of corporate logos. Our last note on this news purge is our one note of West Virginia worry from rollcall.com. Joe Manchin denies he'll switch parties. And I'll remind you, my home state of West Virginia, Robert Byrd passed away earlier this year. The governor, Manchin, stepped down, ran for the Senate seat, squeaked it out from well-funded GOP guy from Florida named John Racey, and is now the senator-elect. And he'll be joining, God help us, John D. Rockefeller IV in the District of Criminals. But as soon as he was elected, it started to swirl that he would defect and maybe go GOP. I'd like to think he'd defect and go independent and strike huge blows against what's coming. And I'd like to see my home state lead that charge in this, what some folks are calling, Second American Revolution. I'd like to think of it as the First American Revelation. But we put up a quick Veterans Day edition of War Horrors. The 11th yesterday, of course, was Veterans Day, and we asked the question, so does that count all the private military-industrial complex contractors that now make up the majority of the military? Or just the guys you don't take care of when they come home used and abused and PTSD? Oh, it was just a pre-existing disorder. Libcom.org has 10 hard truths about Veterans Day, and we'll quickly note things like Agent Orange and Gulf War Syndrome and IED blasts and homeless veterans growing and the suicide, Afghan Iraq, the tripling numbers of dead, the estimates of civilian violence, all that's there for you. Veterans Day, war profiteers say, thanks to the pawns, bombs away, Afghan air war peaks with 1,000 strikes in October. Change. No charges over destruction of CIA interrogation tapes. Torture tapes destruction, another crime goes unpunished. Meanwhile, U.S. to boost aid, military aid to Israel. NewsJunkiePost.com on Veterans Day denouncing the insanity of permanent war. AllGov.com reporting on PBS being busted by FAIR for having no anti-war views expressed on PBS News. KennySideshow.com.blogspot.com rather asked the excellent question that I've asked myself, and my girlfriend and I have had this conversation pretty much for the last decade as the new Gulf War II and the War of Terror rages on. Why must we look to the past for anti-war songs? We don't have any anti-war songs to call our own. We always have to go back to Something's Happening Here and Creedence. We don't have anything. Has it all been American Idol'd? These are things, again, we're going to get more and more into as media monarchy progresses and grows, as we get more folks involved covering areas that can leave me to dissect the mass media memes and semiotics and culture that I have a degree in. At least I'm not in debt, thank God. So, in honor of Kenny Sideshow asking the question, why must we look to the past for anti-war songs, we'll give a flashback that is to the mid-80s, so still doesn't count. I give you the link. We're not going to play the song. I've played it for you back in the past somewhere there in the Media Mon archives. T-S-O-L, True Sounds of Liberty, with their song, Suppose They Gave a War and No One Comes. Bonus track on their landmark Change Today album. That one really had a big effect on me. I've probably made reference to you guys before growing up in a conservative Christian home. Wasn't allowed to go to movies or buy music until I was, 13 or so. But my cool older brother had cassette tapes hidden in a shoebox in the box spring of his bed. And had Minor Threat and the Beastie Boys and Dead Kennedys and De La Soul and TSOL. Going back to the skate days. But that was back in Fayetteville, West Virginia, and that was 20-some years ago, my friends, and here we are, Friday, November 12th, 2010, the year we make contact, We'll flash forward to the present, as I've now been in Portland, Oregon for 5 years now, Media Monarchy on the radio going on over 4 years now. And all of that is an unfortunate segue into our final story here. Portland police arrest 10 in underage prostitution sting. This comes from theportlander.com, a new site I just discovered. The Portland Police Bureau participated with the FBI and other local police agencies last weekend in Operation Cross Country 5, targeting child sexual trafficking. The FBI coordinated these stings as part of Operation Cross Country 5, the fifth such national law enforcement action under the FBI's Innocence Lost National Initiative. Nationwide, this operation recovered 69 children, and it included enforcement actions involving more than 2,100 local, state, and federal officers representing 186 separate agencies in 40 cities across the United States. In addition to the 10 arrested in Portland, 9 other adults were arrested by other area agencies. 3 girls were believed to have been rescued with sketchy details at the time of this writing on November 8th on theportlander.com. So we do have some updates from the Columbian and KPTV and the New Jersey Star-Ledger as well. And we're going to break this down with a clip that, again, as this all grows, I'm gratified by the contacts that folks make with me. So someone from Newsy.com, someone named Sarah, got in touch with me, left a comment on this story about the importance of covering stories like these, even though it's massively difficult and uncomfortable, to say the very least, to cover stories like this. So here's the Newsy.com report on Operation Cross Country.
3-day sex trafficking sting has put 33 people behind bars. It was part of a nationwide FBI operation to crack down on trafficking. Local police say they arrested 9 suspected pimps, 19 suspected prostitutes, and 5 johns. KPTV's Natalie Brand is live from 82nd Avenue with the story. Natalie.
And Shauna, police say this was one of the areas targeted in this latest sting, but people close to this issue know that trafficking can happen to anyone in any neighborhood.
If you don't see it, it's because you're not looking for it. And if you open your eyes, it's everywhere.
21-year-old Emily Palmer from Tigard says she graduated high school with a teen who fell victim to trafficking.
It's terrifying and It's a fate worse than death that no one deserves.
Palmer, now a student at the University of Oregon, says she's doing what she can to raise awareness. Tonight, she and her mother listened as advocates and Portland city leaders talked about the need for tougher state laws and increased penalties against pimps and johns. This comes as the FBI's Operation Cross Country 5 recovered 69 children nationwide this past weekend. That includes three teen girls from our area. Dr. Cindy Romine has worked with hundreds of trafficking victims. She says the road to recovery can be a long one.
It's very difficult for them to admit that they have been deceived, exploited, abused, because they want to believe that this person, this pimp, loves them.
Local police say they've identified girls forced into prostitution as young as age 12. Dr. Romine says adult role models need to recognize the warning signs.
The school system has to be aware. Teachers have to know what to look for. Parents have to be aware. Parents have to know what their kids are doing on Facebook and emailing. Parents need to know who their kids are meeting.
It's very scary. And, you know, you try and place your children in a safe environment, but there's so many horrible influences out there.
Eileen and Emily Palmer say they're trying to combat the issue by spreading the word.
It's scary to think that that could happen to anyone.
And advocates say what's needed most to help these victims is a shelter. New at 11 tonight, you'll hear from a Portland City Commissioner on a plan to do just that. Live in Northeast Portland, I'm Natalie Brand, the 10 o'clock news.
The FBI arrested 884 people throughout the United States in connection with child prostitution. The three-day nationwide exercise is part of a federal effort to help child prostitutes gain freedom. 69 minors were found involved in prostitution all over the country. Greg Wing, FBI Supervisor of Crimes Against Children in Chicago, says it is hard for the kids to be helped because they develop relationships with their pimps. Some even begin to develop Stockholm Syndrome and fall in love or protect their pimps. When young girls are found in these operations, specialists who deal with victims also come on the scene to help with the young people. Although most are forced into prostitution, some start voluntarily. On Chicago's WLS, a former prostitute who now works for a human trafficking unit says the money can be addicting.
I started prostituting at 14, and I didn't get out until I was 39 years old.
Brenda Myers Powell's story begins on Rush Street on Good Friday in 1973.
I went down there on my own to make some money, and that night I made more money than I had ever seen at one time. I made over $300, almost $400.
The crackdown was conducted in 40 different cities throughout the United States. The investigation in Las Vegas led to the arrests of 51 adults and recovered one underage victim. The Las Vegas Sun looks at where prostitution is most rampant. FBI officials target places such as truck stops, casinos, street tracks, and websites based on intelligence gathered by investigators in each jurisdiction. Most people are initially arrested for state and local prostitution charges, and information from those arrests often leads to uncovering organized efforts. The youth of the female prostitutes is not always apparent to customers up front because the majority of prostitutes are solicited online. Cleveland's WJW reports the FBI is reaching out to local communities for help.
Special Agent Scott Wilson says arrangements for their services are often made on the internet, and the FBI, along with local law enforcement agencies, hope to rescue as many of these kids as they can.
We want to get the word out. Certainly, we are reaching out to the community to help us in this.
Certain cities attract more prostitution than others based on their industries and population. The New Jersey Star-Ledger reports 16 people were arrested and two missing children were recovered in New Jersey alone. FBI officials said the New Jersey area has a significant amount of child trafficking because runaways are drawn to the New Jersey-New York area for jobs in the fashion and movie industries. For Newsy.com, I'm Christina Hartman. Multiple sources, the real story.
Again, thanks to Newsy.com for getting in touch with MediaMonarchy.com concerning this story, Operation Cross Country, that unfortunately only brings up the specter of the Franklin scandal, the Franklin cover-up, and the intelligence connections to sex crimes. We also have the flashback just a couple of months back to the Dan Rather article on Huffington Post, Pornland, Oregon, Child Prostitution in Portland. What an ugly way to wrap up this episode, my friends. I missed reading the creepy customers to you last week, but they're in the show notes, and we'll just make the quick reference to the most recent creepy customers coming to MediaMonarchy.com in the past week. We had the Council of the European Union out of Brussels and Parkland Memorial Hospital. They Googled missile launch in reference to the mystery missile. And, of course, Parkland Memorial Hospital is where the spooks stole John F. Kennedy's body from. This has been the 194th episode of Media Monarchy. It's November 12th, 2010, the year we make contact. My name is James Evan Pilato. I am your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com. Thanking you for your involvement. And again, MediaMonarchy@gmail.com is how we're going to connect and is how we're going to grow this independent monarchy, where again, as we always say, don't hate the media, become the media. Take care.
MediaMonarchy.com is your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. Featuring weekly radio shows on the Portland Radio Authority, PRAradio.org, the World Next Week video series with CorbettReport.com, plus special interview episodes, B-sides, mixtapes, and so much more. Send news tips to MediaMonarchy@gmail.com. You can make a donation or mail media to the monarchy at P.O. Box 12165, Portland, Oregon 97212. Thanks to all the internet and community radio stations who broadcast these shows, and most of all, thanks to you. Remember, don't hate the media, become the media.
Whether you went on with the diary, or whether you did not go on with it, made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.